Are you planning to move after you construct or beforehand and stay with the parents for a while? Or what's the plan there exactly?
I mean, ideally, we would start construction even before we.
So that's totally depending on when we can transfer the money that by selling the house in California, right? So
Yeah,
if
but
we then.
you're not sending money into your own bank account. You're paying a supplier, right? You're paying
Correct.
you're outsourcing the service and you're paying the supplier. You're
Right.
not residents at that stage, so Japan doesn't care
Now I
about. I mean, it's not
understand.
like you have a bank account where you're getting income into, and then the tax department
Yeah.
wants to know what's
Because I
that.
was thinking somehow we have to transfer the money into our bank account.
You're not going to have a bank account
Yeah.
before you're
Yeah.
residents again.
Yeah. So
Got it. Got
directly,
it.
yes, that
Yeah,
makes
so
sense.
you are paying for a service from a Japanese service provider. It's nothing to do with your income in Japan. You don't have any income in Japan at that moment. Hi there, folks, and welcome or welcome back to Nippon Trading International's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis of realestate.jp. He's a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families who are looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for over 2 decades now. And for about half of that time, he's been buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in Tokyo on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So he's got dedicated loan officers in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions, which means that you're already aware of the fact that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on sales@realestate.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options. All right, so for today's episode, two back-to-back conversations again. The first one is with an Australian buyer who's interested in purchasing a holiday condo in or near Yuzawa, which is becoming more and more popular with winter holiday makers in recent years. And so we talk about the procedures and challenges of working with Japanese sellers and their agents, either directly or via a proxy like ourselves. The due diligence required for condos and resort properties, specifically how remote viewings work and how much they cost, as well as other purchase costs, the logistics of remitting funds into and out of Japan, and of course, how our services work, how much they cost as well. So enjoy the conversation and don't forget to keep listening when it's done. There's an even more interesting one coming up right after this.
Okay, so let me just dig up your email to give myself an idea of what we're talking about. Give me a sec. So you referred to us by Yuzawa Corp, were you?
I think so. It was like a year ago now, and things happened, and we didn't kind of move forward. And so I just dug up the old email.
Okay.
Yeah. Angel Real Estate, maybe in Yuzawa?
Oh, Angel Fudosan. Yes, we work with them as well. So you, I'm just looking in your email. Did you already have a listing that you're looking at, or you just? Oh, yes, there you are.
So we're not looking for
You want to
anything
share my
fancy.
screen so we'll have a look at it together? Sorry, go ahead. You were saying?
Yeah, we're not looking for anything fancy. So we're kind of Accu bank shopping. But when it comes to apartments and things, you can't really move forward without having someone helping you because of the banking and things like that. So, and I mean, on at home, you can't even contact a real estate. You need a Japanese phone number, as far as I can gather, to
Yes, and
contact them.
also, I mean, a lot of them are still a bit, not a bit, very foreigner shy. So they tend to sometimes, depending on the agent, if they worked with foreigners before or not, but some of them tend to ghost you either immediately or after a few messages.
Right,
So
okay.
it's good to have a Japanese face to give them, and then we promise them that they'll never need to speak to the scary foreigner and get things done on your behalf and they'll never need to talk to you. That tends to put their mind at ease. But Angel and Yuzawa are a bit more foreigner friendly.
Yeah, so this one's not Angel. This is Athletic.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, but Angel was quite helpful when we were looking. But they don't actually have any that we're interested in this year.
Okay, I'll just point out that it's a little bit too old for comfort. Just bear in mind that as they approach 40, those monthly fees that you're paying up here, and especially the reserve fund, which is super low for a 36-year-old building, those will definitely go up in coming years. So just bear in mind, like now you're paying about 28,000 yen. If that was to potentially worst case scenario, let's say double over the next 7, 8, 10 years, would you still be okay with that?
Yeah, that's fine. Considering, so we're in Australia and the costs of all of this stuff is just not even in comparison to how much things cost over here.
To
so,
buy, but the monthly 500 Australian dollars, you'd be okay paying that?
Yeah, at this point, I'd say so, yeah. And
okay,
we're not,
not a problem. Just make sure you're aware.
Yeah, okay.
So
well, that's good to know.
When we the way it will usually work with vacant properties like this one is the agents will normally not accept an offer before somebody comes and views the property in person.
Okay, is that something you ask though? If they just will
Sorry?
Is that something you would just ask them though? If we're happy to just put in an offer, start with that.
We will ask them, but most of them will not take an offer before someone's viewed the property. They're trying to avoid issues down the track. So what we'd normally do, I'll just have a quick look at it first. What we'd normally do is, depending on the agent, some of them will be okay meeting you in person if you happen to be here. If you're not planning a trip here, then we can send somebody over on your behalf. It will be cheaper than you coming over, especially for that. But if we are going to be sending somebody over, and even if you're coming yourself, it might be a good idea to line up a few, because a bunch of properties could fall through by the time we try to submit an offer. They might be sold under us. We might find out with the building renovation history and reserve fund total that, you know, they've got huge debt that we might not want to proceed. So if you're going to be spending a few hundred dollars or a few thousand dollars for you or somebody else to come and view properties there, it probably makes sense to line up a few more rather than just go all the way there for the one.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's a couple others that are in the same area that are acceptable as well. This was just the preferred one. Yeah.
Okay. So what we do in that case, we contact all of the agents that you have a shortlist from, and we'll want to make a day of it. Whoever we send up there is going to be from the nearest big city. So this one is in Yuzawa. Let me just bring up the map. Yuzawa, I think, closest would be from Tokyo. Yes, from Tokyo. So if we send somebody in, they'll be probably commuting from Tokyo Station.
Takes about an hour.
Hour and a half by Shinkansen, so 6,260 for the bullet train. And then if they're going to be looking at a few properties, they'll probably need to rent a car in the area. So that would probably be another 8,000 yen for the day with petrol, maybe petrol and tolls, let's call it 13,000 yen-ish. Add another five. And then whoever we send would normally be charging 4,400 yen for their time. Half of that if they're on the Shinkansen, because they can kind of work when they're on the Shinkansen. So if we call it something like a 10-hour day, I'll call it an 8-hour day, let's take an hour and a half off for Shinkansen time. So 8.5-hour day, I guess, times 4,400. So you're looking at something like 142.
I've now just got gray lines.
Sorry?
If I'm meant to be seeing something, it's just gray lines on the screen.
Yeah, no, it's just the calculator. Sorry, give me a second. No,
Okay.
I'm running the calculator in the background. Sorry about that. So to send somebody over there for the day will probably cost you about 65,000, let's call it 60 to 70,000 yen ish. Because we don't, the only English speaking people that we have will be able to zoom in with you and explain things would be from Tokyo. I don't have anybody in that area who can do that. Unless the agent
Yep.
happens to be super tech savvy and foreigner, okay, and would be doing a Zoom for us, but they're pretty rare in those areas. So sending somebody over from Tokyo for a remote viewing would be 60 to 70,000 yen. So we might as well line up three, four, five viewings for them to do on the day. Hello, have I
Sorry,
lost you?
just yeah, my internet just decided to disappear for a second. Sorry. But yeah, so
Sorry.
make a day of it and all that.
Yeah, that's the idea. And alternatively, if you're coming in from Tokyo, then we can try to ask the agent if they'll agree to them showing you around with us zooming in. If you're coming in from Australia, I mean, with us zooming in and providing interpretation. So that could be an option as well. I think Angel and Yuzawa probably do have an English speaking agent in-house from memory because they keep sending us customers, which means they're talking to people.
I don't think they've got
So,
any that were on our shortlist. They were all the
no.
other
Okay.
ones this time.
Okay. So, yeah. So,
But okay.
probably we'll have to send somebody in with you and it'll be 60, 70,000 yen for the trip anyway, whether you're here in person or we just send somebody over. So, let's give them a day. Yeah.
No problems. Okay, good to know. And then, well, I've got various questions, but I don't know if you want to keep running
Yeah,
through
go
the
for it.
whole processes. So we recently were just trying to buy a property in Joetsu, and it just kept kind of every week there'd be some new extra cost that would kind of just appear. So we're
Yeah.
really keen to understand all of the costs, and the one that was, oh, the couple that were quite large were bank fees. If we're paying, from Australia into a Japanese account, how much those sort of are with the banking system that you
That was the
use?
largest expense in your calculation of cost. There should be a few much higher than that.
The largest unexpected, and we don't know whether it was lost in or, but he said it was going to be 20% bank fees and all of these weird calculations and stuff, and it was just like, that's just.
20% bank fees? No.
He sent a PDF. It had 20% on it. We have no clue. But anyway, it just ended
You
up being
sure that
like,
was
this
bank
is
charges?
new.
Wasn't he referring to all kinds of taxes and purchase costs?
No, just the bank. He's like, no, the bank's only giving us this amount if when we when you so, 'cause we did a couple of trial transfers. He's like, yeah, there's the minimum fee, but when you pay more than $1,000 Australian, it becomes 20%, so there'll only be 800 on the account. Can you pay? And we're like, this doesn't seem
That
okay.
sounds like an agent that maybe hasn't worked with foreign buyers before, because it shouldn't be the case. So basically, depending on the amount, for smaller remittances under 1 million Japanese yen, the best way to do it is via Wise,
Okay.
because Wise come in as domestic remittances, so the Japanese banks don't even notice them. They fly under the radar. It's like from a local Japanese bank account to a local Japanese bank account. It's nothing that flags any fees or anything
Okay.
unusual. So Wise will let you remit up to 1 million Japanese yen at very good rates and very good fees. Beyond that, because I think the reason is maybe because they're not a registered financial institution in Japan. I'm not sure what it is, but they're limited to 1 million. So if you remit more than 1 million, let's say for the price of the property itself, then it's going to be multiple fees on multiple remittances. And that's where they become a bit less cost effective. There's another company called OFX that we've been working with because we're in property. We're always big transactions. So we've been working with them for over a decade now, about 12, 13 years. And they will be able to process bigger transfers directly to any receiving bank account. But if your agent hasn't dealt with his bank and international transfers before, it's quite likely that yes, his bank is telling him that he has limits, and beyond that limit, he has to pay a lot because he's probably working with some local bank who's a bit terrified of international transfers. So it's good to have either a proxy or a buyer-side realtor on your side who's handled these kind of transactions before, and then they'll receive all of the funds from you and distribute them to where they need to go. So to the seller, to the seller's agent, to the property lawyer handling the ownership transfer, et cetera. Insurance company, because you want to put an insurance policy in place. So we or foreigner-friendly realtors who are, you know, used to doing this kind of thing will usually handle these domestic transactions on your behalf. So you transfer a bulk amount to us and we distribute it domestically.
Now, here's some big news for anyone interested in Akiya, the abandoned vacant homes that are abundant all around Japan for very attractive purchase prices. Akiya Mart, our latest sponsor, is a recently founded online search and discovery tool for Japanese real estate. Its user interface will be very familiar to users of Zillow or Redfin. The platform essentially scouts the internet for property listings, translates them into English, and displays prices in US dollars, all in one place and with a dynamic map interface that makes browsing, finding, and shortlisting your favorite properties a piece of cake. Which any of you have been struggling with the dozens, if not hundreds, of Japanese property websites that are available online and their very clunky interface will probably find a real blessing. They've got already over 500,000 listings on the platform, and the database is expanding daily. Ranging from abandoned rural homes to luxury urban properties, Akiya Mart makes it easy to find your dream home in Japan, regardless of your budget. Now, while the platform is essentially free for use, here's an exclusive offer for listeners of the podcast. You can use the promo code NTI to receive $5 off Akiya Mart Pro. The subscription will unlock a bunch of very attractive features for you, including unrestricted access to the entire nationwide property database and a whole range of filters, which will help power charge your search for that elusive perfect home and make it even easier. So hop over to akiya-mart.com. That's AKIYA-MART, akiya-mart.com, and kick off your search today.
Cool. No worries. And then,
but there are other costs involved in a sale that you probably should be aware of. Did you want me to break those down for you?
Yeah, so fees and a decent kind of list with percentages and stuff like that. But yeah, if you run through and I'll look at what she said as well.
Okay, so what sort of purchase are you looking at? What's the budget going to be approximately?
We kind of really only want to get to about 20, so including everything else. So everything we're looking at is between 5 and 12 Australian, which is 1.2 million yen top.
Okay.
The property part of it, and then everything else tacked on top.
Okay, well, agency realtor fees are now a minimum of 330,000 yen, regardless of how cheap the property is.
Yeah, it's a nice whack so, for them. I mean, it would have been ridiculous before, so I understand why.
I mean, they were just not interested in selling these cheaper properties, and they were standing there and rotting. So it was a good thing that they put that in. So 1.2 million yen, or let's say your max budget, 1.2 million yen plus. Before that, plus legal and registration fees will always be at least, I haven't seen anything less than 120,000 yen.
What was that, legal and register?
Legal and register. So the lawyer's fee and the amount that it costs to physically register the property, register the ownership transfer over to your name. Mm-hmm. So I guess we can call it 10%. I've never seen it to be less than that. If we're very lucky, I mean, like we and again, buyer side realtors, people who are used, who are doing many transactions, usually work with the same scrivener who might be offering a bit of a discount. But let's assume it's going to be about 120,000 yen. And then your purchase tax, that'll come in after the settlement, like 6 to 12 months afterwards. That's usually going to be about 2.5% worst case. It varies depending on the official evaluation, which is going to be different to market price. So I can't tell you exactly in advance, but let's assume I don't know, another 100,000 yen, just in case there's a minimum for that as well. I'm hoping less than that. So 1.2 million plus 330,000 for the realtor, plus 120,000 for the agent, for the legal and registration, plus, let's hope, not more than 50,000 for purchase tax down the track. So you're not going to get away with less than 1.78 million, I would say.
Yep. And then your fees are the 275,000. Is that right?
Yes, but
For moving?
we're a little bit too swamped at the moment to do full purchase facilitation, where you just need to talk to us and we do everything on your behalf. What I've been doing for a while and will continue to do until we get our hiring and training sorted, because we're just growing a bit too fast, is I'll put you directly in touch with a foreigner-friendly English-speaking realtor, so they'll be able to handle the logistics of the purchase on your behalf, same as we would have done in English. They're not going to be super strategic in conversations with you to help you, raise red flags, prioritize one property over another. But to be honest, at the budget that you're looking at, I don't think you'll have much of an option. Like, even if I was consulting you on the purchase, all I'd say is too cheap, too old, don't buy that. But that's what you're going for. So I don't think you need to be very strategic or anyone to be holding your hand. I'll just put you directly in touch with an agent and they'll help you buy whatever you.
Right. Okay. So then there's, it's not the 27, 275, it's 1,000. It's something that the real estate charges. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the real estate agent, it depends on the listing agent, the seller's agent. If normally the way it works in Japan is seller agent charges the seller, buyer side agent charges the buyer, so that you'll only have to pay a single realtor commission to whoever represents you as a buyer side agent. Some of the listing selling agents are a bit greedy, or they work for a company that has a greedy policy by which they want to be double dipping. So they want to be the only agent involved in the sales, so they can be charging both sides. If that's the case, and that's a property that you're particularly keen on, then you'll be able to pay your buyer side agent separately. So if there's a property where the seller's agent doesn't want to share their commission, you'll have the option to pay your buyer side another 330,000. So there'll be two realtor commissions, which is kind of similar to our 275, I guess.
Right, okay.
But in most cases, hopefully the seller's agent will be okay for them to represent you, and they'll represent the seller, and then you'll just pay the 1,330, as we've discussed at the start. If you do want us consulting and holding your hand and raising red flags and helping you with due diligence, then we can do that on a 10-hour retainer, which usually is enough for a single purchase. That's going to be 66,000 yen. But again, you're buying super cheap. The only thing really I'd watch out for is to buy a building as young as possible that has had good renovations done in the last 10 years and has enough money in reserve funds to pay for future big renovations if they haven't been done in the last 10 years. But with your budget, your options will be super limited. I guess you'll just have to take whatever's out there. So I don't know how much due diligence or consulting you'll need in this case.
So when you mentioned just then the amount, the balance in the reserve, what was the renovation fund? Is that something that we get told about, like as a part of the document of important matters or whatever?
It is. So when we submit it, but the point is to let them know, when we submit the offer, it's not legally binding, but in Japan, it's taken very seriously. So if we submit an offer and then pull back without any warning or excuse, that agent will not work with us and likely not want to work with any foreigners again. So to avoid that, we'll submit the offer. On the offer, we're going to note that it's pending a structural inspection, renovation history, and it's pending the total amount held in reserve funds. And then we'll review those. And if we really don't like what we see, then we'll be able to pull back the offer without alienating or offending anyone.
Right, because you don't get the information until you put in an offer, but then if the information's bad,
Normally, because the seller or the seller's agent would have to start contacting the owner union, the building management company, and retrieve those reports. And sometimes they have to pay a fee to retrieve those reports. So they're not going to do that until they have an offer on the table. Unless somebody just happened to apply, a few weeks or a few months ago and they already have retrieved that information. But if somebody did that and then didn't want to apply, that's probably because they saw something in there that we don't want to see either.
Yeah, it goes out. Yeah. Okay, so do we have to get the contract translated into English, or is that the whole point of having the proxy there, the English
If you have a
translate?
proxy, whether it's us or a buyer side agent, then they will either translate it fully or at least give you a summary of important points and raise any things that may have not been noted in initial inquiries.
And is that cost that
And
included in
that's included in their
your
fee.
fee, their fee, whichever fee?
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
okay.
included.
Okay.
But again, if we're not involved, not consulting, I can't guarantee a buyer side agent will. I mean, they'll give you a full translation for sure, but it's they're not going to necessarily point out things that might be something to look at. Their job is to facilitate. They're legal. They're by the book. They're very professional, but they're there to facilitate the transaction, to either find a listing for you or work with the listing that you give to them. Make sure that ownership changes hand, money changes hand, everything is done legally, and you're in possession of the title deed. That's what they're there for. So if you do want somebody to review the contracts with you, to review the reserve funds and the renovation history with you, to raise those red flags, then probably a good idea to have us consulting as well, which is 66,000 yen. But my first consulting advice would be to raise your budget a bit because you're looking at the bottom of the barrel there.
Yeah, so we're not fancy at all. We're not looking for anything very special. It's more
No, it's just the
general.
ongoing expenses that I'm concerned about. If they start skyrocketing and the building doesn't have enough money to pay for stuff, it'll cost you a lot more than 1.5 million.
Yeah, no, I understand that. It's good to think about. Thank you. So if we go forward with the apartment side of things, then we need a bank account, which we obviously can't have because we're not long-term visas and all that stuff. So you guys offer, is that something you still do? You offer
Yes,
the
we can
holiday
manage. Yeah,
rental?
management services are not a problem. Even when NTI is too busy, I've got another company that can help with that. So we can do your ongoing management, pay your bills. If you're not there throughout the year, which I assume is the case, you will need somebody to come in and air the property and do some light vacuuming once a month because humidity and mold are a huge issue here. They're going to eat through your interior very quickly. And pay your building fees and your utility fees and your annual taxes. So we can do all of that. If down the track you need something delivered, assembled, furniture, renovations, repair, we can help with that as well.
And so what's the rough estimate for your ongoing one? Because we're obviously not we're not renting it out or anything, so we don't need, the extra level of service, I guess, and your
Actually, it's a lot less hands-on for us if you have a tenant because then we have a property manager in place and they're managing everything. And the tenant signs up for their own utilities. So Holiday Home is actually a lot more involved. But let me share a screen with you. Give me a second. I'll send you that this file whenever you're ready, but I'll just go over it with you now quickly while we're both here.
you can flick it through whenever.
Okay, you're seeing this document? Okay. So first, just to bear in mind, the fees that we're going to be discussing in a minute are our fees. Third parties like the cleaners, the utility companies, the building management company, they're obviously going to be charging what they're charging. So we're just talking about the fees that we charge for management. And anything that's not in this list, we just charge by the hour, which is 4,400 yen. Okay. Everything connecting to utilities to get a contract in with the cleaners between our schedule and their schedule and all kinds of little complications that can rise along the way. It could take up to a month to put any kind of service in place. So if you call us and say, "Hey, I'm done with settlement. Here are all the documents. I'm coming in tomorrow," you're not going to have what you need to have there. So just we need time to organize these things, and we obviously will look for the best possible contractors, but we can't guarantee anyone's quality of work. If they don't do a good job, then we'll obviously replace them. And we'll try to give you, whenever there's an option, we'll try to give you at least two options for any service that you need to choose from. If you want us to research more, find more options, then we can, but that's going to be at an hourly rate. Similarly, if we've booked an appointment for you, for example, with a gas technician or somebody who needs to come in when you're there, and you have to cancel or reschedule for whatever reason, we can do one rescheduling for you. But beyond that, again, we'll have to charge by the hour. So the way, and we need keys to the property, obviously, for ourselves and for the cleaners. So three plans there. You're probably, if you're not going to be there throughout the year, you probably need the silver plan. So silver includes everything which is here in the bronze, which is connecting you to utilities with or without a fixed internet connection if you want it, putting in an insurance policy and making two sets of extra keys for ourselves and cleaners, and paying off your annual property taxes and paying off your resort and condo fees. That one costs us 106,000 yen to set up, roughly, and then 2 monthly hours, so 8,800 yen for management.
Yep.
If and because you probably will also need the cleaning, so we'll need to put a cleaning contract in place and be the contact person for the cleaners to communicate with them monthly. And then it's going to be 164 to set up and 13,200. So 1 more monthly hour for management. We also have gold plan, but that's for people with backyards who need gardeners, landscapers. And we have like an emergency support priority plan for somebody who wants to make sure they can pick up brains up to 4 hours and get priority every month and get priority in response times as opposed to other customers, or we have to just queue up with requests. So during snow season or during the summer season, depending on where you are, it can get a little bit busy. So we have an extra plan on top of those if anybody needs more hands-on service. But from what you're describing, I think you're probably sitting on the silver plan.
Yep, no, that makes sense. Sounds good. Cool. Do you know, and you might not be your wheelhouse, but looking online about getting our own bank account, I've read some of it is you have to have a long-term visa,
Yeah,
otherwise you have to just
not
have a
without
residence
resident. Yeah,
in it.
resident visa of some sort. It doesn't have to be super long term. It can be like a 6 month working contract or a,
Yeah, but not the tourist visa that
not the
we talk
tourist
about.
visa,
Yep. Yeah,
unfortunately
okay.
not. But a Wise account works pretty well. You can send money from a Wise account and receive money in a Wise account, usually anywhere in Japan. But again, they'll only let you keep up to 1 million yen there. You can also get a debit card with it so that you can use it when you're in Japan or anywhere else in the world.
Cool. Okay, so once I've had a chance to, review this and think about it and things like that, what's the next step?
Next step would be assuming it's going to happen before the end of the year, which means we still won't be able to do full purchase facilitation. So if at any time before that you want to start pulling the trigger, then I will create a little chat group on WhatsApp. It's probably easiest, or line with a realtor. I'll check whoever's most readily available and put you in touch with a realtor. You'll give them a shortlist, or if you want, they'll research more properties for you. And once you have a shortlist, they'll be sending somebody over for remote viewings. And when I create the chat group, just let me know if you want me to stay on there and consult, which will be again 66,000 yen, or if you want me to just introduce you and jump out, that's perfectly fine. Don't feel obliged to hire us.
All right, cool. Anything else that I haven't asked you about that I should ask you about?
No, they're just points, tips. Try to go as close as possible to 30 years and younger as opposed to 40 years and older. And if you're doing it on your own, don't forget to look at the building's renovation history and reserve funds that they've got in total, because that will tell you how quickly building fees will be rising.
Cool. No, that's been super helpful. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
I just have to talk about it some more and find out a short list and things like that and go from there.
Sounds like a plan. Hannah can give you my WhatsApp mobile number if you want for quicker communications. I'm a lot more responsive there.
Okay. I don't currently use WhatsApp, so
Oh, sorry.
that's fine.
Facebook Messenger or Line, whichever works. We can keep it to email, but it just takes me time to get to email.
Yep, okay, no, all good.
Awesome. Talk to you
Thank you very
soon.
much. No problems.
Thanks for your time, Lauren.
All right, thank you very much.
Now, if you've attended any of our recent JRIP Summit events in Tokyo or online, you've probably heard our sponsor, Robert Miller from Innovatius.com. He's been in web solutions here in Japan for the past 25 years, and he's also an active investor in Japanese real estate property, as well as global online property, which is his specialty and what his company, Innovatius, is all about. They offer a full suite of website services for entrepreneurs and small business owners, including all aspects of web design and management, backup and updates, content formatting and editing, proactive maintenance and error fixing, you name it, with a strong focus on SEO excellence, which is what gets you those hardcore top-of-the-list search engine rankings. But there is a difference. Innovatius works off a simple, all-inclusive monthly subscription model, as opposed to the typical outdated and confusing project model. So you never have to wonder how much any request for any work to be done on your website might cost. It's always $497 per month. And if that's not enough, if you've mentioned you've heard of their services on the Japan Real Estate Podcast, you'll also get 10% off this monthly price for life. Also, and equally important, if not more, you can try out Innovatius for just 1 month, then switch them off, on again later if you want, and so forth. There are no minimum subscription terms. Now, if you're a small business owner, managing and growing a website is super distracting and time-consuming, right? That's exactly where Innovatius comes in. Robert's team takes care of all of that for you so that you can focus on what you do best. So feel free to email Rob on robert@innovatius.com, and his team will conduct a full SEO and website audit on your site, reveal anything that you should address to increase your website's appeal, and provide you with an easy-to-read, detailed report with your own branding so that you can make some informed decisions on your online strategy and watch your business grow as you implement it. So once more, robert@innovatius.com. Drop him a line and get your website reviewed today. So there you have it, the intricacies of purchasing a holiday condo in Japanese ski country broken down for your convenience. Now, for this next call, this is an international couple, USA-born husband, Japanese wife, currently living in the US, and they've been offered a gift from their family in Japan to take over a plot of land with a big old house on it, which they're planning to potentially demolish and rebuild on. So we talk demolition, disposal, construction costs, strategize on the feasibility of that particular property versus others, how we can assist with development and construction projects if needed, and also a bit about cross-border taxation matters, how moving back to Japan may impact the taxes due, if at all, and how to minimize that financial burden. So really interesting chat on a topic that we don't cover that often here on the podcast. Hope you find some value in this one as well. Okay, so let me browse through your email just to refresh my non-existent memory. I live in California, planning to move back to Japan 26, 27, and you want to be near the family. Okay, so you already know which property you're most likely going to be buying, is that correct?
If it works out, so the property belongs to extended family. It's an old house built, we think, in 1975.
Okay.
We've already visited it. It's probably a teardown. It's not in good shape at all.
Yep.
We were initially thinking we might renovate it, but we visited it a couple of times
With a contractor.
with a contractor. We had a contractor review it. There's also a second structure that was built more recently, we believe in 1985, with steel beams. It's kind of a garage on the second floor, are living quarters with a kitchen and bath, and underneath is storage and a garage. That's in much better condition. That definitely could be renovated. And we kind of like the idea of that, having that structure as well for visitors or for family. We haven't gotten back any sort of estimate yet from the contractor of what it would cost either to renovate or completely tear it down. So we're under the impression it's going to be more than we're willing to spend.
Well, but a typical, I can just give you some ballpark figures. Normally, if it's a, you know, average sized wooden structure family home, would probably cost between 4 to 6 million to demolish and remove. And building a brand new home, if it's the builder kind of cookie cutter type Japanese family home that you see on every street, they're usually 15 to 20 million yen to construct.
Yeah, so we have family in the area, so we have connections with more than one construction company. So they're more custom home builders, which is what we're interested in.
With those, the sky is the, sorry, I'm looking behind me because we're acclimating a new cat and the old
okay, no problem.
Giving him a bit of a hard time. Sorry, I might have to jump away from the screen to break up a fight. But custom made would cost more than that. Custom made, I mean, the sky's the limit, but they would definitely cost more than 15, 20 million usually.
Correct. Yeah. So our budget is Gosenman, which is about $350,000 US, and we're thinking if we had to find a lot, one third of that would go towards the land, and then we would spend two thirds of that on the building the house, which
you're
the
gonna
custom
get
home.
This lot for much cheaper, you think?
Well, this family home, the gentleman, the person who built it, who lived there, passed away 3 years ago. And so his son, I think there's four sons and daughters. They have no need for it. Of course, it would be very costly for them to tear it down. They have no reason to do that. So they're more than willing to just give it to us at this point.
Okay.
We
do
would
you know
probably,
what the land plot costs in that area approximately?
I mean, similar size land with some old structure, we saw 1600,000 for sale.
1600,000 for sale.
Yes.
Okay, so I guess it does make sense in that case to get this one and pay for the demolition and removal if you need to.
And the constructor that we met, he said if you rebuild the same size of the house nowadays, it would cost 5,000,000 easily.
But the house is quite large.
Big, yeah.
It's not, we don't need a house that big. It'll just be the two of us with an occasional visitor. So,
oh, how big is it? Can I ask?
Gosh,
I don't
see,
know.
I wish I knew that size. We never gotten the number, even
because Gosenman sounds like a very
it's a big
nice,
house.
Very nice big house. It doesn't sound like anything typical.
Because it has like 7 bedrooms.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's a big
yard.
It's not typical at all. There is also a 15-meter swimming pool in the front.
Oh,
building
made out of concrete. So this
sounds like a Bubble Days remnant. Okay.
I mean, the uncle, he was well off. So,
yeah. So it is
they
a large
spent
house.
Quite a bit of money.
Okay, so then the Gosenman kind of starts to make sense. Okay.
Yeah. But if the numbers come back and it's more than Gosenman to tear everything down, including removing the swimming pool and build a new house
and renovate the
and renovate the secondary building, then we will move on and look for a piece of land somewhere else. And
you want to remove the swimming pool and fill up that hole. You don't.
Yes, we don't want to.
That's the part that's quite expensive, I think, because that's all stone and concrete, and landfill is expensive as well. So that might, I'm just trying to think, but I think buying an existing land plot with a, you know, slightly more recent house built on it is not going to cost nearly as much as that.
Correct.
That's what our hunch is. We're waiting for the numbers to come back. Saudi's father is very excited about the idea of us living in this. So that's the other part of it. He's under the impression that it will easily be under Gosenman. I think he'll have some sticker shock when he gets the numbers. We're prepared for that. So until the contractor comes back with some sort of estimates, Saudi's dad, is still thinking this is doable. Our hunch is it's not, and we'll be moving
it
on.
It sounds a very expensive project. Yeah, especially after meeting with the contractor, I felt like, yeah, it's going to be a pretty expensive project. Of course, we can make it within the budget, but what we want to do with that land and house, my hunch is it's going to be more expensive than we want.
I'm thinking removing that swimming pool and filling up the land is going to cost you at least as much as buying a new land plot. So I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, there must be other properties that are still close enough to your dad.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Definitely.
Yes. The other thing going for it, it has a beautiful view, south-facing, overlooking Nakano City. So that was the other very attractive thing. You can see most of the Japanese Alps on a good day. Mm-hmm. So that was also very, very enticing. Yeah. But of course, we're not going to pay
just for that.
Just for that.
I mean, it's still well below California prices, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yes.
Okay. Okay, understood. So I guess, like you said, we're waiting for numbers to try and figure out if it makes sense or not. Yeah.
Yes. And then if that doesn't work out, we have family here. Her dad, Saudi's dad, is very helpful. I think we'll get a lot of assistance from him, to take a look at land plots that we find online. So I'm not too... I don't know that we need a whole lot of help finding land plots.
Yep.
Because we do have considerable help on the ground here.
Okay. So if let's assume it's not going to be that property, what sort of age house would you be looking at? Will it be 20 years and younger-ish?
We would build a new house.
Yeah. You would build a new house in any
case. Yes.
So I guess for the purchase, I don't think you really need us because you're going to be either buying something that's relatively new or buying vacant land. As long as it's on a flat surface and it's not, there's no land liquefaction issues. I don't think you need much consulting on that. It's pretty straightforward. So I can put you in touch directly with a foreigner-friendly realtor who'll be able to facilitate the logistics of the purchase remotely on your behalf in English, receive funds from you and distribute them domestically to wherever they need to go, the seller, the lawyer, whoever's involved. So the logistics of it wouldn't be an issue. If you do think you want some hand-holding and consulting, we can, for a few $100, just on a 10-hour retainer, just be there. We'll create a little chat group with the buyer side agent in WhatsApp or LINE, and then we'll jump in with feedback, guide them on due diligence if any of that needs to be done. So that's the easy and cheaper part.
We interrupt this broadcast to tell you about Tokyo Family Stays. They're a short-term rentals company in Tokyo, and they offer a home away from home experience, which is just perfect for remote working, quarantining, if that's still a thing, or if you just need somewhere quiet to get away from the world. They offer a variety of options for families, corporate relocations, or even if you're simply transitioning between homes in Tokyo. The properties are super comfortable, tastefully furnished, fully equipped with all amenities, and they accommodate up to 10 people. So really the only thing you'll need to bring with you is your toothbrush and maybe a change of clothes. They come with fast, unlimited wireless internet, dedicated workspaces, and fully equipped kitchens. And they're just a delight to stay in. Fantastic alternative to Japanese business hotels, which if you've ever stayed in one, you probably know. They're tiny, they're noisy, fine for a night or two if you're on your own. But longer term or with a family, you'll probably feel you're in a jail cell very quickly in a Japanese business hotel. So if you want to give yourself a sense of space and freedom by renting a real home, with comfortable Western beds, including all the necessities like baby bedding, children's toys, high chairs, etc., you definitely want to reach out to Tokyo Family Stays. They've been at it for over a decade. They're a fully licensed minpaku or short-term stay operator. And as a special bonus for our viewers and listeners, they're also throwing in a breakfast basket upon arrival for anyone who books and mentions the Japan Real Estate Podcast or NTI. And not only for guests, if you're a property owner, you've got an investment property that you want to tweak for higher profit, or a holiday home that you want to rent out when you're not using it via short-term stays, drop them a line today, see how they can help you maximize your property's income. And again, as a special bonus to our viewers and listeners, they're also offering a free audit of your existing short-term stay listings without any obligation whatsoever. So feel free to reach out to them at tokyofamilystays.com. Well worth a visit. And again, if you're in the market for a family home in or around the Tokyo metropolitan area, Emil's your man. Don't be shy to reach out to him as well at sales@realestate.jp. And now back to the podcast.
Managing the renovation, the construction project, that might be where you might need a little bit more help if you're not residents, because most of the construction companies, I mean, there are obviously some companies that are geared towards foreigners, but they tend to be a lot pricier normally. Mm-hmm. So it probably would be more cost efficient to have someone like us manage a traditional construction company on your behalf. Even with the added overhead, it'll be still cheaper, I think, than a foreigner facing construction company in most cases.
Got it. Yeah. What we thought our biggest challenge was going to be was the transfer of funds, right? We are not residents, so we have no bank accounts here. The proxy service is what the biggest service we thought we would need from somebody like you or similar.
Well, a buyer-side realtor who's dealing on a regular with foreign customers will be able to receive funds from you or to work out what kind of account information they can get from the seller or whoever is involved and give you a SWIFT code, or that shouldn't be an issue. I don't think you need to, because our service is an added layer of service. It's more expensive. I don't think you need us just for that. I'll put you in touch with a foreigner-friendly agent who will be able to assist with all of that.
Okay.
That's not going to be an issue. For the construction is a different story. So depending on the agent, I'm not sure which of them would be most readily available and if they have construction contracts. But if that's not the case, then down the track, we can definitely help with that.
Okay. Even if we're working with a local construction company that is not familiar with working with foreigners, which is very likely.
If we're managing them on your behalf, then we'll be the point of contact for them. So they'll have a Japanese face to deal with. And then we'll receive funds from you and send it to them when it's required.
Okay. Because we're more than likely, we will want to work with one of the construction companies that has ties to Saudi's family.
Sure. You can nominate them. But I mean, we're not just rubber stamps. If we see that they're not doing a good job, we will let you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yes, yep. Definitely.
Yeah, so that's all doable. I think maybe wait for the numbers, see if we're going with this property or if we're searching for another one instead.
Okay.
And once that's a little bit clearer, then if you can, I'll reply to your last message with just a blank signature that'll have my mobile number on it. So just add me on WhatsApp or Line, whichever you're more comfortable with.
Okay.
And as soon as we have a clear path to move forward, let me know. Just send me a message on WhatsApp or Line.
Okay.
And we'll kick off a chat group with a foreigner-friendly realtor.
Okay.
To help with the purchase and then take it from there.
Our rough timeline is we haven't sold our house in California yet. We plan to. We're hoping to sell it by the end of this year. Our understanding is, right, to minimize capital gains, we need to separate fiscal year wise, separate the purchase of the house or the selling of the house from when we land in Japan permanently.
I don't think you're exempt from capital gains if you're not landing in Japan permanently. Anybody
to minimize, not to eliminate, to minimize. I was under the impression we met with last summer. We met with a wealth management company. They're international, but they have an office in Tokyo, and they explained that if we move to Japan the same year that we sell our house, there would be, and transfer the funds to Japan, that there would be more capital
on that
gains.
Income, you mean? Okay, yes. That does make sense. So once you apply for your visa or once you become residents, you want to have that money sitting in the States so that it's savings and not income from that year. That's correct.
Okay. Yeah.
That's correct. But aside from that, there wouldn't be any capital gains on the property itself because you're going to be pouring money into the construction and the demolition and removal if that's the case.
Okay.
I don't think, I mean, it's a little bit over my pay grade. I can put you in touch with an accountant, but I don't think there'll be any capital gains on the Japanese side of the asset purchase.
I see.
Okay. That was the other, I think we would appreciate being put into contact with somebody else. Last summer, the wealth management company we consulted with is Leo Wealth, very knowledgeable, but very expensive.
Yeah.
And there may be less expensive options out there we haven't explored. We're more than willing to go with them.
How much are they, by the way? I'm looking for somebody on the upper end for some of our clients.
So they quoted just to take care of our income tax returns in the US and Japan, $1,500.
In the US and Japan, both?
Yes, yes.
It's not much at all. I don't think they're very expensive.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
That's not much at all. Most accountants that we work with will charge maybe not 1,000, but let's say 700, 800. Maybe 300-400 per individual, so 700-800 for both of you, but they're not going to be able to do anything overseas. So the fact that these guys are also handling your U.S. Tax returns is good. And from what you're describing, it sounds like they're pretty strategic in their advice as well.
Yes, yes. They asked us to. We met with them, and when we're 6 months to maybe 12 months from landing in Japan, they asked us to reach out to them so they can be proactive in the advice they offer us.
Okay, I'd really appreciate an introduction to them if you don't mind. Sounds like I could send a few customers their way.
Yep.
Yeah. Fantastic. So I can put you in touch with the accountant that we normally refer people to, but they sound like they're a lot more on the simpler side, straightforward.
Yeah.
How much did you make? Submit your tax return. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be super strategic.
Okay. We'll stick with the one we found so far.
I think they sound good, and they don't sound too expensive at all, in my opinion.
Okay. Because we were thinking it's 2025. If we sold our California house, that would. We live and work in California. I'm retiring probably next September, September of 2026. So we were thinking. We would, if we sold our house in 2025, we would be able to move back to Japan in late 2026. But if we don't sell our house until in 2026, we would have to wait to come to Japan until early 27 to minimize taxes.
If you don't bring the income in that year.
Okay.
Yeah, as long as the income stays in the States. So for the first 5 years of residency, Japan doesn't care about your income overseas. As long as you don't bring it into Japan. And
but how would we do that? We would need to bring it into Japan to pay for the land and the build of the house.
Yeah, but that's not going to be immediate, right? I would assume. Yeah. So are you planning to move after you construct or beforehand and stay with the parents for a while? Or what's the plan there exactly?
I mean, ideally, we would start construction even before we...
So that's totally depending on when we can transfer the money that by selling the house in California, right? So
you're not sending money into your own bank account. You're paying a supplier, right? You're
correct.
You're outsourcing the service and you're paying the supplier. You're not residents at that stage. So Japan doesn't care. It's not like you have a bank account where you're getting income into and then the tax department wants to know what's that.
Because I was thinking somehow we have to transfer the money into our bank account.
You're not going to have a bank account before your residence again.
Yes, that makes sense.
So you are paying for a service from a Japanese service provider. It's nothing to do with your income in Japan. You don't have any income in Japan at that moment. Do confirm that with Leo. They might have a better idea on that. Yeah. Just make sure that they understand that you're not transferring funds into your own bank accounts. You're just paying for a job to a Japanese contractor.
Yes.
As a US resident using your US money that you have saved in the US, right?
Yeah.
Saudi's dad offered to handle the money if we transferred the money to him. I assumed that's not going to be feasible. That would be, I think, a gift tax scenario. Japanese authorities would assume.
Not if he can easily show, and he would be able to easily show that that money is being used for your property purchase or construction. Then,
oh, really?
As long as you can explain it in an audit, it's not an issue.
Okay. Yeah. Good to know.
It's not like, no, you got money. Whatever you explain doesn't mean anything. You got a gift. That's not the case.
Okay. Good to know.
If and when he's audited, or if the bank needs to report that to the tax department, then they will ask the question, what are those funds? And I'm assuming at that point, he'll be able to show them a document clearly displaying that the funds came from you and exactly what purpose they're being used for.
Yep.
That shouldn't be an issue, I don't think. The only issue would be if you have a bank account in Japan and you're bringing money into Japan, then the tax department wants to know where that money is coming from and whether it's income or savings.
Mm-hmm.
If it's savings that you've accumulated in the past, then I don't think they can dig that deep where that money came from, sold the house or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I would try to sell the house before you're a resident. That's probably not a bad idea.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. We will be doing that. So that adds a lot of clarity.
Yes.
Yeah, but again, I'm not an accountant, so
control all of that with Leo. Understood.
Yeah. All right. So I think we have a game plan. Sounds
we
like
do.
It.
Yeah, we do.
Yes.
Awesome. I'll wait to hear from you on WhatsApp or line, whichever is most convenient.
Okay. Yes, thank you, Ziv.
Yes.
Pleasure. Great talking to you.
All right.
Nice talking to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now. So that was a good one, I thought. And again, a topic that we don't cover here as often, simply because most of our clients who are taking on these construction projects can be a bit more private. I'm happy this particular couple agreed to be recorded and hopefully brought some value to anyone listening who's considering similar projects. Let me know what you thought. Now, before we go, we're also, as always, going to tell you and also link to our other sponsor's website. That's Hiroshi Shimizu, immigration lawyer and administrative scrivener. If you're thinking about moving here on a more permanent basis, or you're already in Japan on some sort of a temporary visa and you want to switch to a longer term or permanent one, or if you're considering setting up a local company or a branch office of a foreign company and you've got any sort of business or visa related inquiries, or even if you just want to find out what your options are on any of these topics, feel free to contact Hiroshi Shimizu. You can find him at japanimmigrationexperts.com. And he can help you set up a company, apply for any kind of visa, or just provide you with the best advice and extremely affordable consultation related to these topics. And he's already done that for many of our listeners. So feel free to reach out to him. Again, that's japanimmigrationexperts.com, and you'll be well on your way. And that's it from us for today, folks. Hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Japan Real Estate Podcast. Do share it with your networks, and please let us know what you think. So leave us a short rating or review on the iTunes Store, on Spotify, or just drop us a line in the comment section of wherever you might have found this episode. We love hearing from you. Hope to have you with us again next time, and until then, have a great day or night ahead. Yoroshiku.